Welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus Christ. Our services are online every Sunday at 10 o'clock. You can find them on our YouTube channel. You can also find more information about us at gotothewell.church or find us on Facebook. And remember, you are loved.
Watching from, so we can celebrate that. Just seeing how incredible, really, this there has been a silver lining to this season of all the craziness is that the gospel's been able to spread in greater number than ever before. That churches have chosen to step up and be more creative and more think more outside of their box to be able to reach more people. I think that's one of the coolest things in this season is seeing sometimes that you would never see a church, you know, pursue online or buy cameras or do those sort of things. But for the sake of the gospel, we are willing to do anything in order so that lost people can be found. And I think that's super cool. So let us know where you're at. Let us know what country, city you're in. I don't know where I put my phone so I can't even look right now. It's over there. That's okay. I don't know about you. I'm one of those people, I lose my phone and my wallet constantly. It's just really bad. I just put things down. So if you're a thief, just follow me around and you'll find my wallet and get nothing. But I just have that tendency to do things. But yeah, like Courtney says, share the link. I thought it was hilarious that Courtney did announcements in the courtyard. I find that hilarious. but yeah, if you are comfortable and you're ready to come back to the church building, you are welcome to do so. We got two great little outdoor venues for you with shade and super comfortable chairs. No joke. Come just to experience the chair, and you'll glad you did. Yeah, like, subscribe, all those different things to the video. But let's lift up our Bibles, your note-taking devices. If you're a part of our Shepherd's Discipleship, you have your Lectio Divina, a place for you to take notes during this time, but let's do this. Lord, we thank you. God, we praise you that we get to come and read your word. God, that we get to do so freely. We get to do so creatively. We get to do so in maybe ways we've never done before. But Lord, we get to come before you, sit at your feet, and say, King, teacher, teach me. And so, Lord, that's what we want today. Holy Spirit, speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been going through a series called Crazy, and we're only on chapter 2 of the book of Revelation. We are moving and a-grooving, but we want to take our time. That's the temptation is let's just rush through it, get to the next series. But I think during this crazy time, as we move from conspiracy to courage, it's important that we really take the time to read and learn about these churches and these scriptures, because God said that there's a blessing in understanding and knowing these words as it talks about the last days. And the reality is we are in the last days. It's not just a crazy thing, a crazy person holds up a sign on a street. We are in the last days. We were in the last days the moment that Jesus rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. The Holy Spirit came upon the church in Acts chapter 2 and sent the church out to be the answer to the questions. It is a completion of a love story within Scripture of saying, hey, we are going to share the love and the good news of Jesus Christ through the church. And so it is no surprise that John, he writes this, he receives this revelation from God, he writes it down, and God's like, go tell all the top Fortune 500 companies about how the end of the world is going to happen. Go tell all the top celebrities, hey, I'm going to write this to Caesar himself. No. He says, John, write this down and send it to the seven churches. Churches. And these are the map here. These are the seven churches that you're going to see right here. It's kind of in the middle of the Roman Empire. Here's Rome up here. This is where Paul traveled in his missionary journals. Israel's all the way over here. And this is to Gentile churches. He says, write it here. It says modern-day Turkey. He says, write it to these seven churches. And then John's on this little island right here in Patmos. Why would he write to these seven churches? Simply this, because the local church is the hope of the world. It's not our government. It's not our local government. It's not our TVs and our Netflixes and our media companies and our newspaper companies. It's not. The hope of the world is not going to come from, you name it. It's going to come from the church. Why? We're the bride of Christ. We're his loved one. We're his adored. We're his the one that he is waiting for. We are his bride. We're the hope of the world. And so I really believe that John writes this letter, and receives this revelation that God wants John to communicate to these seven churches, seven very specific things. To the church of Ephesus, he said, you need to love people again. To the church of Smyrna, he said, be faithful. And today we're going to talk about the church of Pergamum. And God says to them, you need to discern. Today's going to be fun. So I want to tell you just kind of the main point, the main idea, the main thing right off the bat. And it's this, that there are cultural norms in our life that are leading you away from Jesus. It's not even distracting you. Oh, I'm going to go have a ball. No, leading you. You have chosen to submit yourself to this other leadership that's leading you away from Jesus. It happened on accident. This is a choice that you've made. There are cultural norms in our life, in my life, in your life, that are leading you away from Jesus. Let's look at it in Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 through 17. It says, and the angel of the church of Pergamum said, write this down. The words of him who has the sharp, two-edged sword. Jesus loves me, yes, I know. He's coming with a two-edged sword. Okay. Is the one who has sharp the two-edged sword. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Can you imagine, like, Aaron and I lived in Washington, there's different cities had different reputations. Puyallup was all about the Puyallup Fair. Then Tacoma is called the Tacoma Aroma because there was a paper mill factory and it smelled. But can you imagine this? Goes, I know where you dwell. I know where you live. That's where Satan's throne is at. Yet you hold fast to my name. You did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness who was killed among you. You saw someone of your very own killed among you. You still remained faithful. Who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you. You have some of those who are teaching, hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put stumbling blocks before the sons of Israel so that you might eat food, sacrifice to idols, and practice sexual immorality. What he's saying there, hey, you're following a teaching that says, hey, make it difficult for the Jewish people to come know Jesus. Make it difficult. Put stumbling blocks before them. Make it so unattractive for them to come to know Christ that they don't get saved because you have a bias or you have a prejudice against them. So also, some of you have held the teaching of the Nicolaitans, which we talked about, and we looked at the church of Ephesus. Some of them were referring to these teachings, and Jesus said, I hate that teaching, I hate that following. It is two different ideas what it is. It's either when you give your spouse up for sexual relations with other people because you think they're so great, or the other one, it's kind of very vast differences. If you break it down to the Greek, it's saying that it's a spiritual hierarchy, creating a priesthood, saying that say a designated person like a priest is closer to God than you are, and that you have to go through a priest to talk to God. He's saying here, like, I hate that. That's not what I'm about. Jesus is the high priest. We need no one to talk to God for us. We get to do that on our own. So therefore, repent. If not, I will come to you soon and war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers, I will give some of their hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone so that no one except the one who receives it. So we have these two different cultural norms that are occurring there in the church. One who is believing that either for priesthood or that sexual immorality is okay. And other ones that are creating it very difficult for Jews to come to know Christ. But let me tell you a little bit of background of Pergamum. It's a home of massive temples covering every kind of god you can imagine. It's like going to a shopping mall. Instead of seeing Foot Locker and Champs, you're seeing different god temples. It's like a shopping mall for gods. They have the Temple of Zeus, the Temple of Dionysus, some modern-day Vegas It's like, hey, what happens in the temple of Diocese stays in the temple of Diocese, unless it follows you home and you have a disease. It's all about the goddess of wine and pleasure, that there were the parties lasted so long and went so hard, it was common to find dead people after. It's like the movie Hangover, but it's just called Dead. The tiger ate you, you know? And then they have the goddess. I don't know what I put here. And it auto-corrected in my notes, and so it's just the goddess of Dementors. So I don't know what. I have to go back and check what that is, but it's about the god of food and crops. You would go and worship this god, so you have lots of food and good crops. This one freaks me out. The god Asclepine. This is the god of healing. We're like, oh, that sounds nice, right? No, not nice. This god's tool of choice for healing. You ready? Snakes. And it's not just like, look at a snake or like hold a snake. No. This is how you would get healed in this temple. Healed in this temple. If you were ill, seeking healing, you would go lay down in a pitch black room. Can't see anything, okay? And then what they would do is you would have to stay there all night. And they would pour snakes into this room and they would crawl all over you. And you're supposed to be healed after that. Now, they didn't discern which kind of snakes they were putting in. Because if there were something about you that is causing your sickness, they would put the poisonous snake in to get rid of that from you. So many just woke up dead. But some woke up healed. So people kept going to it. Think of that scene from Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, when he falls into all the snakes start crawling up. It's super gross. I don't know why people go to these things. Then there was the temple of Triage, the worship of Caesar. You would go and declare that that Caesar is Lord of Lords, Savior, one who brings peace and prosperity. The church, in kind of a modern description, is they're faithful, passionate witnesses, but they compromise along with the world. They accommodated sexual immorality and idolatrous culture. And they allowed their prejudices and their racism to infiltrate into their church, and that's how they chose who got to come into, who got to know Jesus or not. They wanted to reach a culture so bad that they blended their faith of Jesus with their culture. And so a lot of times you couldn't tell the difference because there was a lot of anti-Semitic feelings throughout this region that we showed on the map, where it wasn't, that was normal to ostracize them. We become so much like the culture that you're not actually reaching the culture, you're just reflecting them. We have allowed idols to infiltrate the body of Christ that has caused us to be divided. The Bible says we are one, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are one. We're one in Christ. We're one body. If one part of the body hurts, like the rest of the body hurts, right? You know what we do now? Oh, that body hurts now? Just cut it off and get rid of it because they're no good anyway. We stop treating people like the body of Christ, that they're a part of this. So idols and things that we hold above the kingdom of God have chosen to divide us, where we're no longer one. Now we're Republicans and Democrats. We're rich and we're poor. We're legal and we're illegal. We're black and we're white. We're masks and no masks. And even as Jesus points, we're pastors and a congregation, there's a separation. And Jesus is saying, no, we're one. You may disagree on the peripherals, but we have to agree on the principles. And because we agree on the principles, we still love and respect and treat each other in love and not as if they're the enemy. This is why we have to ask ourselves, if it is God in whom we trust, you see that on our money. In God we trust. But no one trusts him? It's like a figurehead. If you really trust God, why are you putting your hope in a system made by man? Why are we putting our trust in a value system that's put in by man? Why do we allow that to integrate into the church? This is a reality. God communicates to us through divine revelation and wisdom. What I mean by wisdom here is you don't always need a word from God to walk in his principles. There are things that when I'm teaching my kids, hey, I don't want you to run in the street. Is it so that whenever they want to run the street, they go, Dad, should I run the street or not? No, I've taught them, don't run the street. They don't have to ask me, they already know. And a lot of us are living our relationship with God, constantly asking for divine revelation when he's just asking you to walk in the wisdom that he's already given you. And so there are times you do not need the divine revelation of should you go and talk to that person about Jesus. You don't need that divine revelation if you need to get over your prejudices so you can love someone better. You don't need divine revelation to pursue reconciliation. That's just wisdom from God that he's already given you. That's why we sit at church on Sunday mornings, so that we can hear divine revelation from his word and then turn it into wisdom so we don't have to have it all. It's already a part of integrated and part of who we are as a people, not constantly having been told what to do. And so now we get to look at this and recognize that there are cultural norms in our life that have led us away from Jesus. We need to identify those things. Where have you allowed division in your heart, in your mind, when you look at other people within the church, other people who call themselves believers? See, this season that we're in right now with elections and COVID and all this, what it does is whatever you are already feeling, just put an exclamation point on it. And now we're feeling it more than we've ever felt it before. And the tendency is for brother to turn against brother, sister against sister. And we forfeit our gospel citizenship of Jesus' rights for a lesser citizenship. So number one, write this down. We must be united in what governs us. We must be united in what governs us. The word of God is our tool to discern. Mason, where are you at? I'm going to have you come up. Did he like leave because I told him he's going to be part of the illustration? Dang. All right, Ashley, come here. Yep. One of our incredible youth leaders. Ashley, come on up. One of our camera crew. So, as Ashley comes up here, we can look at Ashley and go, she is 6 feet tall. 6 feet tall, right?
Yeah.
But Jessica's over here going, no, she's like 4'5". And I go, Jessica, how dare you? How dare you think she's 4'5"? She's 6 feet. Why? Because I feel like it. You can't tell me this is my truth. And so that's what we do with our moral ambiguity. I tried to say the word. It didn't work out. Is we go, this is what I think. This is what I feel. Go ahead and come on over here. This is what I think. This is what I feel. And Ed over here can go, well, from my perspective, she looks about maybe 5'5". Okay? Maybe about 5'5". But that's not what I believe. And Ed's like, no, it's 5'5". And he tries to push his beliefs on me. Can you believe, Ed?
Oh my God, I'm 6 foot.
She's 6 foot. Is that based on fact? My fact. Based off my past experiences and past, I believe that you are 6 feet tall. Okay? All right? But if there's nothing that we agree upon that we can measure with, is everybody right only in their own eyes? But see, this is why God gives us a tool. He gives us his Bible, says this is how that we live our life. From Genesis to Revelation, it is important that it's relevant and it's transformational and it is true and it is foundational. And if this is not our tool, we are only going to live in a reality that is my truth is my truth. And if my truth violates your truth, you're the one who's wrong. So we have created a tool. And so someone created a tool. It's called a tape measure. And I can come over here. Everyone's going to know your height right now.
72 inches.
Wow, you are so off. We're looking at about 62 and a half inches, so that's 5 feet, 2.5. Does that sound about right?
Nope.
What do you think it is?
5'3". Round up.
No, round up. Okay, we'll round up to make you feel better there. That's the Jeremiah 29:11 experience right there. Thank you, Ashley. Can you give it up for her right now? So we now know she's 5'2.5". Okay, based off my eye, he's looking at the tape measure here. So, but now when Ed's over here, nope. Or Jessica's over here, no, 6 foot or 5'4" or 5'5". We can say no. Why? Because we tested it to discern against what the Word of God is saying. Now that we're united, we can all agree, okay, that was 67.5 inches. Okay, that's different now. So it's not about your truth and my truth, because it's not about me. It's I want my everything in my life to come to Jesus' truth, to his standard. And so I don't want to no longer go, I think we should do this, or I think we should treat this person. We should go, what does the Bible say? Oh, okay, let's do that. You know what happens when you cut wood and you work on things? You always measure twice, cut once. Look at your Bible twice, really begin to understand it before you make some sort of judgment. Hebrews chapter 4. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Sounds familiar. Piercing to the vision of the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and marrow, the discerning of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. God's word affects us intellectually and emotionally. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16-17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training of righteousness or right living, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Do not try to build a house without one of these tape measures, please. And if you do, I'm never coming over. I eyeballed it. Ah! Without a measuring tool, everything else is a guess or a preference, not choice, not truth. But this is what happens. Is a lot of times, how many of you know that you can use a tool out of context and out of improper use? See, what I like to do with the tape measure, especially if I like to come over here to Erin. She's going to be so mad right now. Okay. This isn't like a sword now. Like, it's a bad sword. Okay, you can't use this and go, hey, Jessica, pay attention. Boom. I'm misusing this. I can't say, oh, this says 23 inches, but let's round up, right, Ashley? 24 inches. I misusing the tool. And what happens when we misuse the tool? One, people get hurt. Things get broken. I almost broke my tape measure right now. Scriptures be read and understood of its context and itself and its original listeners too. It's like watching the movie Titanic, seeing the first part of it going, oh, that boat's going to do great. It's a good boat. Nothing's going to happen there. It's like watching the movie Frozen, which I've done a million times because I have a 6-year-old little girl, and go, oh, Hans, that's a good character. He's a good guy. You're not finishing the story. It's like watching a trailer of Grey's Anatomy and thinking it's about medicine and hospitals. You get the wrong idea. And so many of you, we're misrepresenting Jesus, his word, and his love for people when we misuse scripture. When we go to the Old Testament to say that, well, maybe we shouldn't do this or that. Well, why do I need to obey the laws of God? Because right here it says I should murder, I should kill someone if they disobey. And not understanding is every consequence written out in the Old Testament was fulfilled and taken place here in the New Testament in the Gospels of Jesus on the cross. We have to understand and properly utilize Scripture and not use it for our own political or personal benefits. When Scripture is studied, applied, and integrated into our daily lives, God is glorified, people are united, and the lost find their way home. What measuring tape are you using? Are you just eyeballing it? And then projecting your truth on other people, getting upset with everybody because they don't line up to your made-up belief of your own tape measure. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that be testing it, may you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. Is it okay to be sexually active before marriage and break covenant? Well, let's look at the word of God. Is it okay to berate people on Facebook and call them stupid and that they're going to hell and they're doing all these things? Well, let's take a look at the word of God. This is why. You always have to ask yourself, why should we figure out and be united in our tool that we use? We are citizens of the kingdom of God. Number two, we're the citizens of the kingdom of God. I love it in the first part of this verse. It's, Satan's throne lives where you live. And it is. Actually, Satan's throne is here. Right here in Artesia. Right here in Cerritos, right where you live. Because Satan's throne is on earth. Because he's a ruler of earth. He's a ruler of the kingdom of earth. He's a ruler of kingdom of our flesh. And so here he is, of course. And I assume that his throne is surrounded by cats. Just every kind of cat you can think of surrounds Satan's throne. I'm kidding. Calm down. Kidding. He's here to divide. He's here to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the world that we live in. That's the ruler of our world. And the funny thing is, we really shouldn't want to do anything. We shouldn't want to do anything with it. Like, it almost should be embarrassing. Like, oh my gosh, that's Satan's house. Oh my gosh, just keep walking. Because it's so messed up. It's so drama filled. It's so just consumed with self. And we just be like, oh my gosh, that's disgusting. Not in a judgmental way. Like, I don't want to touch it because, like, I'm definitely going to have to wash my hands for 20 seconds, you know? But what's funny is when my brother was a senior, he graduated, and he got his first car. He told me it was called a Zephyr. No one's ever heard of it, okay? This car he bought for $500. When you turned it on, you turned the air conditioner on, the exhaust came through the air conditioner, okay? This had like six different colors of paint. A primer on the outside. When you kind of had it, when you opened the door, you had to lift it up and then pull it out. You know what I mean? Like one window didn't go down, the other one didn't go up. This was a terrible car. And in his goodness, in his generosity, my brother said, I'm going to pick you up from school today. Okay? So I'm walking with my friends outside of Downey High School, and my brother pulls up in his Zephyr. You can hear it a mile away. And he goes, hey, Eric, come on, I'll give you a ride home. In that moment, I had to make a decision that was going to determine my reputation in high school. So I just acted like I didn't know him. Oh, what? What? Just a creepy guy asked me to get in his car, you know? Perfectly normal. He goes, Eric, get in the car. I'll give you a ride home. Just, go away. He's like, Eric, come on. Let me in the car. I said, I'm not getting in your car. Go. I will walk home. Why? Because I'm selfish and shallow. Yes. But I was embarrassed of his car. And that's literally what the enemy drives up sometimes. Though it may look like a Lamborghini outside, he's got 3-day-old Taco Bell in the driver's seat. And we're going, should I get in? The world around us, it doesn't make sense when we really think about, when we understand the revelation of God and we understand the wisdom that he's given us. It doesn't make sense because we aren't part of his citizenship. When you know Jesus, you are now a citizen of the kingdom of God. We should not want to do anything to do with what he is doing. We're not citizens of the world. We live differently. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, says, so you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. It is important that we process our citizenship responsibilities in the way that we understand the world around us. You are not a citizen of this world. Sorry, I just said a lot really quick. I'm sorry. So we know that no matter how much legislation we have, you can never legislate righteousness. Righteousness only comes, or right living comes from the transformation of the Holy Spirit, not a vote on a ballot. So regardless, vote. Make your voice heard, all those things. But at the end of the day, you have to make a decision for yourself and how you're going to teach and how you're going to influence your family, your community, and your influence. So before you complain or put down someone else's life choices or put them in harm's way, you need to check yourself. Am I operating as a citizenship of the enemy or a citizenship of the kingdom of God? How will you influence those around you so that they know Jesus is king and you're not? That Jesus is king and not the U.S. government. That Jesus is king and not the media. And I mentioned this before, your vote matters, but the most influential thing that you can do is live out your citizenship in the kingdom of God. Because you know the thing is about the those who are still living in the kingdom of the enemy? They don't want to. It's not natural for them. It's like they're drinking dirty water from the gutter when you've got like clean Evian water bottles, like your own, so you're not polluting the earth, not the plastic ones. So you're, anyway, you have nice clean gusher iceberg water, and everyone else is drinking out of the gutter, and you're going, why would you exchange one for the other? We get to be citizens of the kingdom. See, the citizens of the kingdom, we love our enemies. We don't trash talk them. It's my right as American. Yes, it is. But we have citizenship somewhere else. We forgive. It's actually a fundamental of the Christian faith is forgiveness. We pray for those who don't deserve it. We live in a state and an attitude of power and not defeat. We choose to have hope when the rest of the world chooses despair. Check out Matthew 5. That's part of your homework. Check out Matthew 5. Read the Beatitudes and just learn. And you realize why people go, man, Jesus is crazy. I don't want anything to do with this. So what I'm asking of us as a church, as the well, can we just come before Jesus? Can we come before the Holy Spirit in honesty and say, Lord, what are the cultural things, normal things in my life that I've allowed to infiltrate my faith? And it's really keeping me away from you. I know for me, it can very much could be eating. I eat to feed my cravings, and I'm working really hard on that these past few months. But what is it for you? Do you watch Fox News or CNN more than you ever spend in front of your Bible? Or is just sitting in worship before the Lord? Are you engaging in real community, or are you just sitting back and criticizing everyone else? Because that's what I found. The more that you criticize, the less energy and oxygen you have to lift people up. And understanding that there are some people who are, they're living by faith, and it may not look like the way that you should be living by faith. So what's keeping you from him? Is it your insecurities? Is it your lust? Is it your attitude? Is it your desire not to stand out and to let people know that you follow Jesus? Is it your addictions? None of these things are to shame you. These things are just to identify and say, Holy Spirit, would you heal these in me? Would you transform me? Would you change me? Because I want to look more like you. And that's the answer. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus, period. And maybe today you've never given your life to Jesus. And I'm going to invite Jessica up. You've never given your life to Jesus. You've never started at that point. You go, I don't even know who in this world can I even look to be as a model to how to live my life. Who would even take someone who's done so much in their life, so much bad, so much anger, so much anxiety, so much frustration, so much poor decision, so much trash talk? Who would take that and say, I love you? It's Jesus. Jesus sees all of your messed up stuff and says, I want him. That's my boy. That's my girl. That's my son. That's my daughter. I love them. I want them in my kingdom. And it starts with Jesus. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You don't have to hop on one foot, spin around 20 times, or go feed 1,000 people. You just have to come and confess that Jesus is Lord. And if that's you for the first time, I just want you to come. I want you to just Even it may feel awkward at first, may feel weird, but just lift your hands. And there may be some people, you know Jesus in this room or in the courtyard or watching online right now. You know Jesus, but you don't know Jesus right now. There's a lot of junk in between the two of you right now, and you want to get rid of that junk right now. I invite you to pray this with me. Jesus, I want to discover your love, your grace for the first time today, or for the first time in a long time. I've been far from you and want to be brought near. Thank you for dying for me, for my sins, so that I can have abundant life. Lord, would you lead me all the days of my life and teach me to display your love to those around me? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If that was you who made that decision today, we celebrate you and all the things that God wants to do in your life. If that's you, you can text the number there on the screen, 562-860-2407, or you can click a link right now in the chat. Let us know who you are so we can begin to partner and help you along the way. But I want to encourage those again who maybe this season is difficult for everyone. All of us don't know what to do. We don't. It's really difficult. Seriously, 2020 is like that year that just doesn't stop giving or taking. I'm not sure what it's doing. But it just feels like just that one, two, one, two, one, two. And all of us, we're dazed, we're confused, we're frustrated. Do we go this way? Do we go that way? Wait, I thought they said this. No, I thought they said this. And we all just need to stop and just come before the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, would you fill me? Give me your peace. Give me your power. Give me your understanding. Give me your grace. Give me your wisdom. Would you lead me? Would you lead me? And I believe when we come to a place where we can come before the Holy Spirit and submit ourselves to them, submit ourselves to him, he's going to give you that new perspective. He's going to give you, we read a few weeks ago, words for you to say at a time where you don't know what to say. He may give you that spiritual language to connect with him. He may give you a gift of healing so you can go heal someone in your neighborhood. He may give you a gift of word or knowledge that blesses, that encourages someone else. But I can't tell you right now, as we are in October and November going into 2021, we need the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. So I'm gonna invite you, whether directly after service or tonight when you get home or when you have a time to just sit, would you just sit before the Lord? If you've got kids, have them come sit with you and say, we're going to seek the Holy Spirit together. It's quiet time until then. And just see what he does. At the beginning of the year, he said, I'm going to move in revival. And I believe he is doing that. We've seen it 1,000 ways. And I believe he wants to do it in your home. So if you're at home, go ahead and grab the person's hand next to you. If you're in the courtyard and you're with your family, grab their hand. If you're there by yourself, just go ahead and just lift your hands to Jesus. Lord God, I thank you for all that you are. God, I thank you that you're holy. I thank you that we don't have to have it all together. I thank you that we don't have to have all the right answers. But Lord, as we engage in conversation, whether in person or online or via Zoom, Lord, that we would choose to do so in love, to do so with understanding, to listen more than we talk, to build bridges instead of walls. God, we thank you that we have an opportunity to stand for the kingdom of God, not to force it upon anybody, but to make it available. We praise you, Lord. And we thank you for the people to our left, our right, from us, behind us, for the neighbor in front of us, behind us, the person next door, for our communities. God, we thank you that we get to live in this time, in this season, to proclaim your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hey, as you are part of your Connect groups, or maybe you're not part of a Connect group, maybe you live out of state, out of county, we have additional questions and kind of a worksheet that goes along with all these teachings that are available on our website. Just go to thewell.church and you click on sermons and podcasts. And those PDFs will be available for you to download. And so maybe you're in Texas, maybe you're in Colorado. You can grab those and grab a few friends and start going over them together and really begin engaging with what God is speaking through this book of Revelation. We love you. You are loved. Cannot wait to see you again, whether here via live stream or out here in the courtyard, thinking and praying for you. If you need prayer, Zoom prayer room will be open, and we cannot wait to be there with you. So have a fantastic week. Stay cool, and we love you. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to The Well Podcast. If you would like more information and to stay connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. And remember, you are loved.